Time now for Speak Your Peace, Bucks County's longest-running talk show. Phone lines are open at 215-949-3232. 949-3232 to join WBCB's signature show. It's Speak Your Peace. And now, here's your host, Pat Wanling.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and how are you today on this bright and beautiful sunny day? It is absolutely gorgeous. Not into the 70s yet, but this is Speak Your Peace on WBCB, and Pat's going to be here until 1 o'clock, the good Lord willing, as I love to say, and we're going to have a very special guest on with us today, someone I've known for a long time and someone who's doing a great job. It's Sheriff Fred Haran. He's going to be coming up. But I want that reminds me, he's running for re-election, but that reminds me again, and I have to tell everyone that the primary election is coming up. Well, who knew? It is the May 20th it's going to be. Well, the folks running for office do, and we have local races that include school board seats and a lot of little primary battles going on scattered throughout the county. And we have county row offices up. And the all-important, I'd say, election of two things. The Bucks County Court of Common Pleas, we've got county judges running, and we also have school board races. And we talk about schools a lot, and I think it's very important. And these folks, the judges and the school board people cross file. That means that while we can only vote in our own primary in which we are registered, but they can cross file, and so you could have your county judges and you could have your school board candidates, if they choose to, be on both ballots. And but what I see we have now is we don't have a lot of information on the upcoming election, but guess what? The ballots are going out right now. And a friend of mine even said, whoa, what about all these judge candidates? People don't even know. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that. Right now we're going to be doing some of the row offices, but I'm not going to tell anyone how to cast their ballot, of course, but I know what I know, and you have to have an informed decision. So that's what's going on here. I think that we don't have I'll give you a very good example. A very good example. On the national level, with all of these U.S. district judges, there are hundreds, if not more, attempting to thwart President Trump's federal edicts on the handling, for example, of criminal illegal aliens. These judges, you have to know, are politically handpicked. No, they are elected then, but they're handpicked by their political parties. So you do have, as the Trump administration complains about it all the time, you've got these partisan judges attempting to stop Trump with his federal edict, as I said, to get rid of the criminal illegal aliens first. Anybody else can go home if they want to, but that's a very controversial thing. The Democrats are making a big deal out of it, but you have judges interfering with what's going on federally with the elected president of the United States. So this year we have judges on the ballot, and it's more difficult for us to know about them objectively. And as I said, the political parties select their candidates. Hopefully they make judicious decisions within the party. But the unendorsed judge candidates also deserve a look. So how do we do it? We can do interviews for one thing, and that's the purpose of the media. The media includes WBCB as well as our local newspaper, much smaller than it was before, the Bucks County Courier Times. But there are many, many other news outlets online and on the air and in print. So it's your right to vote, but it's your duty to do the research and not have limited political choices, particularly when it comes to the courts and the district attorney's office, the sheriff, and all those responsible for public safety on the local level. So in an election, we're limited to voting for candidates in our own party. Note that the school board, again, crossfile, so pay attention to those races. We talk about it often, the importance of school boards school boards of directors. Let's make them all sound kind of fancy. And we talk about that. We're going to be getting into the election and the school board candidates on Thursday with Beth Ann Rosica from Broad and Liberty. And again, now, the ballots are going out, so you can fill out your ballot and mail it back in. But you have to know who you're voting for. Now, today, excuse me, as I said before, I have the pleasure of speaking with Sheriff Fred Haran, who's up for re-election this year. Now, to me, he's a transformative sheriff, if there ever was one. So I would say you're here now, right, Fred? Welcome, Sheriff.
Hey, Pat. Thanks very much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for taking time out. I know you're busy.
Oh, no, no worries. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. I wanted to. I think that you're a transformative sheriff. I think. Let's go a little bit into your background. You have a very strong background, only in law enforcement, correct?
You were 39 years now.
Ben Salem. How many years?
39, Pat. 39 years. 35, 36 in Ben Salem. So.
That's where I first met you.
Yep.
You have a great reputation. And what is it, Fred, that happened in Ben Salem? I don't know the exact title, but were you like a public safety something or other? Not a police chief. What was it?
Public safety director. So Ben Salem changed their former government back, I guess it was the late early 90s. Mm-hmm. And then I believe the late 80s, they changed from a police chief to a public safety director. And basically the public safety director is really over police, fire, and EMS. But for all intents and purposes, it's the same as a police chief, but only has fire and EMS.
But you had expanded duties. Oh, I think that was a good move. Why did you leave that job? I know from other people. I'm not just saying this. Other people said you did a great job. The mayor, of course, they were all enthralled with the work that you were doing all the time, Fred. But what made you decide to run a couple of years ago for sheriff?
So I left Ben Salem because I felt like I did a lot of different things there. I was very lucky to work for a guy like Joe D. Who let me really do a lot of stuff outside the box. And I wanted to take that and expand it out of Ben Salem and take it to Bucks County. And the only way to really do that was to become sheriff of Bucks County. So in 21, I was approached to run for sheriff, and I thought, wow, what a great opportunity to take a lot of the cool stuff that we're doing in Ben Salem and take it from Bristol Borough to Quakertown. And that was the reason why I left. Ben Salem was home for me for a long, long time. I mean, literally my home, because we lived there as well. But I had a great number two. First was Pat Poncelli, who was my number two, and Pat retired. And then next was Bill McVeigh, who I remember hiring him, I believe it was 1999, 98, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself then, this guy is going to be great. And he was, and he is. And I made him my deputy director as time went on for the last couple of years I was there. And I felt like, you know what, the place is in good hands. I'm leaving it with somebody that's going to take it and keep going. And he's doing it.
But see, now when you go to the sheriff's office, now, of course, you worked for Larry Michaels. Larry Michaels was the police chief, I'll tell people, a long time ago. And then he became the sheriff.
Correct.
But I think you're doing things a little bit differently than the sheriffs in the past. I know what I've worked there in the county under different sheriffs, and not under the sheriffs, but I mean in the county. And so I knew about what they did. But you're making it a little bit more expanded, I believe. Is that not correct?
That is correct. I'm not a same old type of guy. I didn't come here with the idea just to whatever it is, it is. I came here to work. I'm in the office every day, and I've got great men and women that work here, fantastic crew, and we're really expanding the footprint of the sheriff's office here in Bucks County. One of the things that recently happened last year is we became state accredited, and we are on the road to be nationally accredited. And what that means is that our policies and procedures are in line with the standards in policing. One at the state level, but the only other agency in Bucks County that has national accreditation is Ben Salem Township. So the Bucks County Sheriff's Office will be number 14 in the state to have that auspicious markings.
Now, what does that mean as far as what you do?
It means that our policies and procedures and everything we do are 100% on board, and that we follow our policies and procedures, and that we have good nationally recognized policies and procedures. You know, here, well, wherever you are in the United States, but Pennsylvania specifically, because we're a commonwealth, everybody's got their own police department, and there's no one that says, you know, your policy must be this or your policy must be that. Certain things in accordance with the law or certain things in accordance with the district attorney's office. But in general, you know, the chief he or her can do pretty much whatever they want within reason. But our policies are within national standards now. And I think that's very important. It brings a lot of professionalism to this office. And we're doing a lot of new projects and programs and some more units. And we're really the biggest thing is kicking out warrants. You know, when I came in, we had about 7,800 warrants, outstanding warrants in the county.
Right.
I'm running my new numbers now, and we're about 4,600. And we get warrants in every day, but I have two full-time warrant teams out there. And then, you know, we've got everybody out there aggressively making sure that warrants are served. That's very important because people that, you know, have broken the law and that don't come to court or have eluded the courts or the police, they don't hide in their house. They're out committing more crimes. So it's my job to stop them.
You're so mean, Fred.
I'm a mean guy, I know. I just want Bucks County to be safe and get held criminals liable. I'm a very mean person. But, you know, we've got a lot of other projects going, Pat, as well. I mean, we're doing...
I know.
You know, we have deputies that are out in the field dealing with people that have mental health issues. You know, the big debate with the school resource officer, trying to keep that alive. You know, our one in Central Bucks is coming out, and Central Bucks Regional, Carl Knott's going to do an amazing job, you know, taking over for us there. But now we have one we're trying to get into the IU that I've been asked by Dr. Hoffman to put an SRO in the IU. The commissioners, two of the commissioners anyway, are pushing back, and they've not have given me a reason why. But
well, wait, let's back up a minute. What are you talking about, the school resource office in schools? What are you talking about that?
So the school resource officer, you know, those are police officers in schools, and we have a lot of them in Bucks County. But the sheriff's office was asked to supply one to the Bucks County IU. The Bucks County IU has 14 buildings, from Bristol Borough to Quakertown, and they deal with about 46,000 children touch the IU. And because they span the whole county, you need a law enforcement agency that has countywide jurisdiction. And the only one that has that, besides the county really detectives, is the sheriff's office. So Dr. Hoffman approached me. No other IU in Pennsylvania has one at this point, and said, would you be willing to do it? I said, yeah. But the way the law was written in 2019, it's a three-way agreement. It's the school district, the sheriff's office, and the commissioners. And I got one commissioner on board, Commissioner DiGirolamo, and the other two commissioners are interested with no explanation. I understand they're reconsidering as we speak, so time will tell if they're gonna do it or not, but we'll see what happens. But we're talking about children's safety and providing service to the schools. I don't know where the debate would be for that, but...
Well, see, that's the question. That's the question I would ask Commissioner Marseglia and Commissioner Harvey. Why not?
Yeah, they haven't answered that.
I mean, you've got to have a reason. Why not?
They don't have an answer. There's no answer from them.
Well, then we know what the answer is.
Well, I know what the answer is.
It's political.
It's absolutely.
I say this every day. Everything is political, I'm telling you.
Shouldn't be.
Everything is political. I mean, why can't we think as a countywide team for public safety, that sort of thing? Why isn't it for the safety of our country? Why do we have all this political hoopla all the time? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. Everything they do is political. I'm only interested in one thing, the safety of our community. It's not that hard. I'm not, I mean, obviously I'm a registered Republican. I run on a Republican ticket, but as far as I'm very middle of the road. I believe in, you know, we've talked about mental health. Mm-hmm. We talked about drug addiction. I've come up with a lot of new programs. We started in Ben Salem, the co-responder initiative after George Floyd. We started it in Ben Salem. And now it's, I think it's in 19 or 20 some odd police departments across the county. Mm-hmm. But we started it in Ben Salem. And some people
tell
thought
us
it was
what
a,
that is, Fred. Tell us what that is.
That is social workers, mm-hmm. People that have the expertise in mental health, able to respond to calls once the scene is secured and police request them immediately, not the day after, not 2 hours later, like within 15, 20 minutes, and be able to assist police in helping deal with the problems that these people are facing. And, you know, unfortunately in society today, people have a lot of problems, and, you know, a lot of people have a lot of issues and they need help. And the police mm-hmm. don't have the training nor the time to do that. But the co-responders do, you know, led by Rachel Neff here in the county. Mm-hmm. She's the Director of Health and Human Services. I believe that's right. Her title, or Human Services Director. And they do a great job. But, you know, these are all programs that some people would say are left programs. These aren't left programs. These are right programs. I don't mean right as a Republican. I mean right as in the right thing to do.
Correct.
Programs.
Yes.
This is just the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we started the BPAIR, the Bucks County Police Assisting in Recovery, that started in Ben Salem, where, mm-hmm. you know, if people need help in recovery, we don't ask questions. We just get them the help at no matter what time of the day, no matter what their financial situation is. Mm-hmm. So many different things. And a lot of these things are continuing and growing in Bucks County. So here in the sheriff's office, you know, we're committed to serving the public. I have mobile gun permitting. People that want to get their license to carry and they're legally allowed to do that, mm-hmm. I'll come out to locations and events and set up computers and issue people their permitting license. We have, the first ever canine unit. We have three dogs now. One is fishing up school now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff helping the local police and watching prisoners at hospitals to keep cops on the street available to handle 911 calls. I mean, we just want to keep doing more and more and more. And I do get a lot of pushback. I don't know of any programs that the county commissioners, two anyway, have said, hey, that's a great idea, Fred. How can we help? I think I would fall over if I hear those words.
That's because it's Fred.
You know, Pat, you're absolutely right. It is because it's me. They don't like the success that the sheriff's office is having. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they don't like it. They're trying to keep us down. And they don't want us to be successful, and that's just stupid. I mean, you know, what Forrest Gump says, stupid is stupid does. That defines mm-hmm. Those two. And you know, but as I say that, I have no problem breaking bread with them tomorrow. It's my beef with them is not personal. My beef with them is professional. Right. If tomorrow they want to start a new day and. You know, put everything, bygones be bygones, I'm willing to do it. I've told them that 100 times. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, they cannot not hold a grudge. You know, to hell with it, I'm going to keep moving on. And, you know, we're going to get reelected this year, and I'm going to do it for another 4 years. And then we'll see what happens after that. You know, mm-hmm.
There's one thing I did want you to talk about, because I had asked the district attorney about this also. Do we have any problems? Because I worked in the county twice, and they did cooperate with ICE. When someone got arrested that was illegal, the feds were notified. So now you've done something that's pretty darn good and different for the sheriff's office. What is this thing that you've done about ICE relative to ICE?
So. What you said in the first day, there was one issue with that. If you're incarcerated for a period of time, ICE does have, immigration does have access to the folks that are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to do is those that get arrested that sometimes never make the jail cell. And there's a million different scenarios. Only, Pat, only people that have warrants for their arrest or people that have already had their due process and for whatever reason haven't shown up for sentencing, or mm-hmm. People that just never came to court after warrants have been issued for their arrest and they fail and mm-hmm. escape the judicial system. If we arrest them on a warrant for a criminal charge, nothing to do with immigration, on a criminal, misdemeanor or felony charge, only and only then will my deputies then check the database to see if they are marked for deportation, if they cross, if they have an illegal border crossing, or if ICE is currently, you know, looking for them.
Right.
We will then be able to assist ICE in the paperwork and turn them over. Only after we have arrested them on a criminal charge. We're not looking for people in cars. We're not going to, you know, we're not working with local police on disturbance calls and getting identification for people. We're not going to domestics. We're not, you know, checking people in the park.
Right.
All this other stuff is left-wing propaganda. This is about preventing crime.
People cutting the grass.
Yeah, we're not doing any. It really is fake news. And one reporter from the first one that wrote the story, I told her, I said, listen, we don't have this all worked out yet. Your story's premature. She didn't care. So I spent about a half hour, 45 minutes with her on the phone, Pat, and then a story came out, and I'm like, was I talking to the right reporter? So I called her back, and you know what she told me?
Wow.
She said, my editor made some changes. I said, your editor who never talked to me made some changes? That editor? She said, yeah. I said, God help you. I said, shame on you. I said, shame on you for doing that. You just wanted, the story wasn't where you wanted it to be, so you decided, let's spice it up and put the scare into people. Let's really annoy people because, listen, what Harron's doing sounds like it makes sense. No one wants to report what makes sense. That's no fun. So let's juice it up and change the story. And that's what they did.
Story, what paper was that in? Not the Courier.
Some rag. Something
but not
in Doyle.
The Courier.
Not the Courier. Well, they didn't do much better either, but... the Inquirer probably gave us the best print.
Right.
It was, I don't know, I don't remember. There were so many, Pat, I don't remember. I don't remember which one it was in Doyle.
Well, Fred, here's the thing now. When I say you're transformative, basically, what does the sheriffs in Pennsylvania, what are they normally responsible for?
Right.
What do they do? They transport prisoners, they serve, they sheriff sales. What is it that
so we
you, on the books,
question.
What are you supposed to do?
So on the books, we have a wide variety of responsibilities in the criminal justice system and the law enforcement world. Some of it includes the security of this building and the courtrooms, the movement of prisoners within the building, picking up people all over the United States that are wanted out of Bucks County, looking for the wanted people that don't come to court, looking for those wanted people. And we serve all the aspects of the civil world here. If you don't pay your credit card bills or you're not paying your mortgage, you know, that comes to the sheriff's office.
Right.
We issue gun permits. We deal with serve PFA orders. We take guns away from individuals that a judge has ordered that. We have served levies on people. But we also enforce a breach of peace. So any criminal activity that we come in contact with, the sheriffs are allowed to make arrests on that. The sheriffs actually can make car stops, with the exception of the only things we can't do is write tickets for inspection, registration, and driver's license violations. But any other motor vehicle infraction that we witness, we're allowed to stop. We don't do that here. But me, what I have taken that and simplified it, besides all those other duties, I look at my role as an ancillary role for the municipal police officers.
Yes.
My job is to keep municipal cops on the street handling 911 calls, because when you call 911 in Bucks County, you get the local police. Morrisville, Bristol Borough, Quakertown, Ben Salem, Bristol, whoever, right? So if a Bristol Borough cop, and Bristol Borough is a great, oh my God, it's amazing, Pat. You know what goes on there. What a great
I know where
thing.
All the bodies are too.
Oh, what a great town! But that's where
it
I'm living right now. So I'm a little biased towards Bristol Borough. But you know, they only have so many cops on the street.
Yes.
So if cops are tied up watching prisoners, they can't handle 911 calls. So I have my office. We'll take over all prisoner watches when requested. So I'll send my deputies to watch the prisoners that are sick, that need to be, you know, medically cleared while the cops can get back on the street and handle 911 calls. And with the drug problem not getting any better, more and more prisoners, xylazine, or what they call trank on the streets, people are just so much sicker now than they were. Certainly, with heroin kills you, which is horrible. But, mm-hmm. you know, Narcan reverses that pretty instantaneously. Mm-hmm. But people don't have that sickness that xylazine does. And I'm simplifying everything. So if there's any
right.
medical people listening to this call, I'm simplifying everything.
Right.
But xylazine, there's so many medical problems associated with xylazine. So, Trank. So we're doing that. I'll do anything I can to help the municipal cops and the court system. You know, right now, today, as mm-hmm. we speak, my officers are doing emergency training for active shooters and hazardous materials in the courthouse. You know, these are things that have been long overdue. So,
right.
you know, there's almost nothing I won't do. You know, we have officers now, in other states bringing prisoners back to Bucks County. This
right.
is our responsibility. I take it very seriously. But, you know, we are general law and order keepers. I have a civil unrest team that, you know, we could respond to a disturbance in the county and mm-hmm. and help deal with that situation. So we created that. I got them all trained and equipped. I will thank, Commissioner Marseglia and DiGirolamo voted for that equipment. Commissioner Harvey voted against it. I don't know what was going through Bob's mind. How do you vote against safety equipment for law enforcement? But he did. Diane and Gene voted yes. I give Diane, I give credit where credit's due. But Bob voted against it, and I would have loved to, maybe I wouldn't want to be in his brain. I don't know what he was thinking at that moment, voting no, but he did.
He probably wasn't thinking at the time.
Probably wasn't thinking. Like when they walked out of me two weeks ago at the commissioner's meeting, they walked out on me when I was talking about school resource officers. They shut the sound off and walked out. And then I saw.
Are you serious?
Oh, you got to watch the video, Pat. I heard it was one of the top-rated commissioner meetings of all time.
When are they up for re-election again, Fred?
27, they're up.
Oh well, see, they don't have any worries now. They can do whatever they want, I guess.
I guess I don't
because
know.
Because at the ballot box, we can control our destinies here, Fred. The thing instituted more training programs, isn't that correct?
Well, more training. One of the things they had, we don't get a big training budget here, and we're trying to do, you know, more training for deputies, getting them out at different specialization on whether it's use of force, de-escalation,
right.
you know, warrant service, you know, things that are within our purview. I try to get them trained on. And they're begging for it. You know, they never really had those opportunities. And it should be, you know, that was one of the things in Bensalem I was quite proud of. The mayor was always backing of police getting trained. You know, the two things that you get jammed up in law enforcement is supervision and training. Failure to supervise and failure to train. Those are your Achilles heel in the criminal
mm-hmm.
justice world. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, we have supervisors here. I'm hoping, you know, maybe in the future to expand. You know, even get some more deputies so we can do more things. And I don't understand why they're afraid of that, but they are. And failure to train. And we're trying to do more training. We're doing a lot of – we do have some software called Power DMS that we were able to procure.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a lot of training through that. Training doesn't mean going to, you know, somewhere off-site. You could do training in-house too.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of train-the-trainers as well. So – We're looking at everything, Pat. We're just, you know, I'm very proud of these guys and gals.
How many deputies do you have?
We have 77, including me right now. So 76.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, I think we were at 60-something when I came in. So we have expanded the footprint. They weren't able to get the job done. A lot of people say, well, you should just do one thing. I'm like, really? Who does that? You know, I didn't come in here to do one thing. I came here to do a lot of things. And regardless of, you know, where you are on the spectrum of political ideologies, I don't really care. But I'm going to work hard to keep everybody safe in Bucks County. I don't care, you know, where you are or who you are or, you know, it doesn't matter to me. Everybody's going to get a good service, and we're going to keep doing that here.
That's good. All right, now, how do you dovetail with the DA's office?
How do we work with them?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The DA's,
where do you overlap? And what do you do? I know that you're on the campaign trail sometimes with Jennifer Shorn, DA. You must overlap somehow with their office.
We do. We overlap, you know, besides in the official capacity as far as warrants and helping them with different things of that nature.
Right.
You know, we come up with a lot of new projects. Right now we're getting ready to launch. We had a hearing yesterday in Northampton, but I'm working with the DA and our state legislators here in Bucks County on launching a new app that I found the guy.
Tell us about it.
So sextortion is a huge issue where, you know, the kids these days, they just don't understand the consequences of sharing pictures of themselves in a, you know, naked pictures. And then that gets used against them later, and they get extorted through sexual pictures. So it's called sextortion. We are getting ready to launch in the fall of 2025, a program here, and we've got legislation hopefully in the works soon, that if a picture of you is out there, you get a digital fingerprint and lock the picture down where the picture can't be shared. Therefore, this extortion is gone. And the kids will have a digital deputy, and that's not my name. It's the company that made this, a digital deputy of somebody that can help them with the problems that they're facing online. So if they're talking to somebody that they don't believe is an actual child, and now they think it's an adult trying to, you know, extortion, sextortion, whatever it might be, or just do something of bad nature to them, they can deal with this virtual deputy and will guide them through what to do. It's just incredible, incredible, groundbreaking stuff. West Virginia just passed some legislation on it, and I'm hoping, and Virginia is getting ready to pass it, and I'm hoping Pennsylvania will be number two, so I'm very excited about this.
I wonder if this will be a bipartisan thing.
Well, again, how child safety cannot be bipartisan, I have no idea. But
well, ask Bob Harvey.
I don't
get
it.
Here's the thing, Fred. I think that you're doing amazing things. I think people – I know what I thought the sheriff's department was, and I've seen what you've done and how you talk about it and the training programs and that sort of thing. Now, when you recruit someone, or if you – maybe you don't recruit, but if someone wants a job in your office, what are you looking for a deputy? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for – somebody that just wants to be loyal to their community. We can train them, and the state will train them on how to be a deputy. I don't need that. We'll train them on that. But you can't train your inner self.
No.
I need somebody that's not looking at this as a retirement gig, that somebody, you know, wants a career in law enforcement, but a different type of law enforcement. And this is a good place for them. But I want you to have your heart in it. I want you to want to serve the public. I want you to be able to be willing to do some outside-the-box approaches to the system. And I want you to want to work. If you're just looking for straight 8 hours and you never want to work an ounce of overtime, this is not the place for you. But if you want to work and you want to make a difference and you want to have some fun and you want to come to work and experience different things and get to talk to people, join up. We're the place you want to be.
How big a budget do you have in the sheriff's office, Fred?
I think we're at about $9 million now.
And that includes salaries and training.
That's everything.
And vehicles and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's everything.
I think you've done an amazing job, and it really has to be bipartisan. This is the way I feel about judges and the district attorneys and all. We do have to go through the political process, but I think when it comes to public safety and national security and that sort of thing, I think it really has to go right across the aisle both ways. And we have a congressman that does that. Now, on your panel yesterday, you had state legislators, and they're interested in what? In introducing this legislation.
Yes.
Right?
And, you know, they're interested. The people on that panel yesterday, and not everybody can make it, but they're truly – I've worked with those folks before. They're truly interested in public safety. Not to say that others that weren't there aren't, but those – you know, that crew, you know, for sure. And I've worked with them before on legislation, and they're good folks. So,
right.
you know, that's – That's the group I went to because I don't want, you know me, Pat, I don't want to talk about this for 3 years. I want to get this moving.
Mm-hmm. I think you're doing a very good job, Fred, and I think it's important. Now, one last question I have for you. What do you think is one of the major problems, and this is law enforcement kind of a question, what is a problem that we have in Bucks County, the major problem?
Drugs.
I knew you were going to say drugs, that.
I mean, we are, you know, the Delaware Valley is the opioid capital of the U.S.
Really?
You know, Philadelphia, we border the city, obviously. Mm-hmm. Drugs is a huge problem. And, you know, it needs to be dealt with. And I think people don't, you know, everybody thinks, well, not me. The problem is one out of two has drugs somewhere in their family now and close to them. It's not one out of four anymore, one out of three, it's one out of two. We have to tighten that up. Drug dealers need to be held accountable. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but the border needs to be tight, and it's getting there. You know, but I spent time in Cochise County on the Arizona border where the wall was stopped, and the border was wide open, and drugs are coming in, you know, kilos and thousands of pounds coming in. That needs to stop down. That needs to stop. And we need to get people into treatment. You have to get people off drugs. You know, and we got to invest money in rehabilitation, detox, and the education. I'm not sure how much more we can do with education. I think when people get to that point in their life and they take drugs and, you know, they're just trying to escape reality, I don't think they really truly get where that's taking them. But we've got to stop it, and if they get on it, we got to get them off of it. That's where we got to invest our funds, and certainly education. But again, we've been doing that since Nancy Reagan in the 80s, Just Say No, and the DARE program. We've been doing that since mid 80s, and I'm not sure how much it's working or not. But I don't believe it's working too well. But we need people hold accountable. People need to go to jail when you're selling drugs. I mean, that's it. You need to go to jail. It's not rocket science stuff, but it's got to be a part of the whole picture, you know, jail plus rehabilitation and getting people off drugs and getting people help. And the mental health system is broken. The mental health system in this country, in this county, is broken. People have more and more.
I talk about that a lot. You know why? So many people that are mentally ill, the first encounter they have is with the police.
That's very true.
And I know that they have a mental health unit, or I don't know what they call it in the DA's office. It's a court, I think, like a drug
mental
court
health.
Or something.
Mental health court.
Oh, mental health court. Okay, I think that is, I mean, I just know of cases that we've had around here and everything. And that's another sort of training that you're giving your deputies. They can help out in those areas, too. Along with the social workers and whatever else.
We have people trained in CIT. We have people trained. You know, we started the we actually brought it from Montgomery County, and the veterans response team started with the sheriff's office. Veterans that are dealing with mental health issues. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that, but it came from the sheriff's office.
That's right.
To the county. And so mental health is a big issue. I have specially trained deputies that go out, deal with homeless people that are suffering also from mental health issues and have warrants for their arrest. And they don't belong in jail. So we're trying to get them out of the homeless camps, get their warrants cleared up, and get them into some sort of help. But, you know, some people would say, well, that's not your job. I'm like, yeah, it's my job. I mean, my job's pretty wide span. That's absolutely my job. So we try to do.
I think it's amazing. I think it's good.
I can't tell you what, but we're route ready. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be introducing a whole brand new program that's going to be pretty darn cool and great for Bucks County. But I can't spill the beans yet.
Oh, you can't?
I can't. I'm sorry.
Well, why don't you tell me? I won't tell anyone. I swear. Tell me now, Fred. I've known you a long time. You can trust me.
It's going to be a great, great program, and I'm very excited.
Thank you, Fred. Fred, listen, I think you're doing a wonderful thing. It was great having you on today, and we can talk some more. And I'll be getting in touch with Jen. I've talked to the DA, and you're all working together up there for a better and safer Bucks County, correct? That's all we want.
And you know, the other row officers up here, you know, Colleen and Dan, and certainly Colleen, Dan, and Pam Van Blanc, and, you know, Eileen and Linda Bobbin, who am I missing? The coroner. The row officers, even, you know, we cross party lines, but, you know, we're all working, you know, I think the rows, at least I feel that way here, are working pretty good together. We sit on a lot of committees together, and
they usually do. I think that's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. That's a great thing. But you know, politics isn't everything. But I think when it comes to law enforcement and the courts and everything, I mean, really, it has to take a backseat. You can use your politics to get into office, but then you have to be straightforward, neutral, work across the aisle, work for everyone. Republicans, Democrats.
You know, Pat, I know we got to go, but you know, people say, you know, oh, you're political. I've been invited to the White House twice by Bill Clinton and by Barack Obama, and I went both times. And especially with you know, Obama, a lot of people didn't like him, you know, on our side of the aisle, if you will.
Yeah.
And people, oh, why are you going to Barack Obama's White House? I'm like, first of all, it's not Obama's White House; it's the people's house. Second of all, the President of the United States invited me to the White House. I don't care who it is, I'm going.
Well, tell that to Jalen Hurts.
Well, you know, I don't know the story, but I
no,
heard.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, I don't. I was always a little annoyed because I think Jalen Hurts is a pretty squared away, decent guy. But I also know he just got married, and the word is like he's not even around. I don't know if that's true. That's just all hearsay. So if he's out on some crazy honeymoon or whatever, you know, I get it. You know, I get it.
It's fine. I don't think it was. I don't think it was a political thing. But
I don't think so either.
I think Trump would have been happy to meet him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think Jalen's a squared away, decent guy from what I see. I mean, I just think he's a good human being.
He's a good quarterback.
I'm jealous.
Is that what he is?
On Air Force One.
You have been on Air Force One?
No, I haven't. I said I'm jealous that Saquon didn't Saquon go on Air Force One or something. I was told.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Fred, you're the sheriff. You're not Saquon.
I would like to go on Air Force One.
Well, maybe down the road you can run for president.
Yeah.
Okay, Fred Harron.
Thanks.
The great Fred Harron. Thank you so much, Fred, for your time. And thank you for your good work.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you.
And good luck to you. All righty. Okay, WBCB. That's Fred. He's a cop, basically. That's what he is. He's a sheriff. We're going to take a break right now. And we'll be back. We could talk some more. We're going to get some of these candidates on both sides of the aisle. All righty. We'll be right back.
Head out to Dion Square, located at South Oxford Valley and South Olds Boulevard, to get all your essentials in one place, with the following businesses ready to serve you. Pat Dion Beverages, CVS Pharmacy, Hair Cuttery, Smile Culture Dental, Biomat, Liberty Auto Tags, Pennsylvania Fine Wine and Spirits, Lee's Hoagie House, R&J Smoothies and Juices, AutoZone, and First National Bank and Trust of Newtown. Make Dion Square your one stop for all your shopping needs at South Oxford Valley Road in South Olds Boulevard in Fairless Hills.
That's not just a bird. That's the sound of common sense coming back to Bucks County. The Bucks County Independence is your new home for local news, school board meetings, township budgets, election coverage, without the noise, spin, or outrage. If you miss the days when news respected your time and your intelligence, welcome home. The Bucks County Independence. Common sense, uncommon news. Visit BucksInde.com to give us a try. That's BucksInde.com.
All commentators on WBCV express their own views. Their opinions are not necessarily the views of others on WBCV, including the staff and management.
Now, back to Speak Your Piece on WBCB 1490. Here's your host, Pat Wandling.
I am back, and you just heard that little spot there about Buck's independence, and that's what I've been telling you about. It's on the way. I don't know. I think it's going to be launched. It has to be launched this week, then, if they're putting up an ad for it. But that's what the new WBCB website, we're calling it Buck's Independence, and you're going to have a variety of news, and we're going to have speak your piece guests. We're going to have columns. I've been writing a column, and it's good. And I think one of the problems that we talk about all the time is a biased media. I don't call it so much like fake news as it's slanted news. It's the sin of omission. It's leaving out things. You know what I mean? You just have to, you have to have a balance. In the news, you can have your talking heads. You could have somebody like me, all of these talk show people. I mean, they have their own opinions and so on and so forth. That's different, but that's not the news department. The news department has to be straight down the middle, unbiased. I commented yesterday about the White House Correspondents' Dinner and how they covered up the decline of former President Joe Biden, health-wise. I'm not saying what he has, but definitely he was in decline. And why was that not a big story? Where was the digging? Where was the speaking truth to power? When the Biden people would tell the White House correspondents, oh, he's good, he's got a cold. That's what happened during the debate. He had a cold. They had heard that he had fallen asleep when he was doing his practicing for the debates. And, he was up late that night. I mean, dig and get the truth. Speak the truth to the power. And that's what you have to do. And I just had an interview with the Bucks County Sheriff. And we know what everything is kind of transparent when they do things. It has to go, the budget has to be approved by the county commissioners. They have to go and they speak in front of it. Anything he does is right out there. And that's the way it has to be. But it has to be reported on. And then when they've Sheriff just said that when he was speaking about some program or some money he wanted, the commissioner shut him down. What is that? He shut off the mic? Excuse me, this happens in the schools. We cannot have a country like that. It's all about free speech. And you don't want to have slanted news or the sin of omission by just not. For example, I mean, if Trump was running for office and he had a big rally and that sort of thing, the other channels may not carry it. Okay, Fox News was all in the tank for Donald Trump, so they did the whole thing. But they didn't even refer to it. I mean, that's why when we're going to have a website, we're going to have a station that is going to be fair and balanced. I have my own opinions, but I do try to be fair and balanced. I mean, I was a reporter for many years, and it's very easy to do. You get one side, you get the other side. Simple. Absolutely simple. So, we've got a little bit of time left, and I want to thank you for listening to WBCB. And what is today, too? What have we got coming up afterwards, Stephen? The 1 o'clock spot is all music, and maybe we're going to capture that 1 o'clock spot, I think, Stephen. I'd love to do it. I like to keep on talking and having more interviews and that sort of thing. So we'll see what happens. Thank you so much for listening to Speak Your Piece, and I'll see you back here tomorrow.